Today's daf is Sukkah daf Yud Ches. We are holding on daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We are at Tashema, about 10 lines before the end of the page. So first we're going to finish up our discussion from yesterday, where Rav holds, according to this Lishna Achrina, according to his second Lashon, Rav holds that Dalet Amos is not only the shear of Schach Pasel that you're allowed to have, less than Dalet Amos is the shear of Schach Pasel that you're allowed to have Minat Sad, but even Be'emtza Sukkah, you can have up until Dalet Amos. So we're going to bring Raya's whether Rav is correct about that or not. We brought one raya yesterday. We have two more that we're going to bring today. Then the Gemara is going to have a machlokas on Yud Ches Amud Aleph, whether Yesh Lavud Be'emtza or Ein Lavud Be'emtza. We know that we apply the concept of Lavud even when dealing with the Schach of the Sukkah, but is that only when the Avir of Less Than Gimel Tefachim is off to the side of the Sukkah between the wall and the beginning of the Schach, or is it even when the Avir is right in the middle of the Schach? And the Gemara is going to quote a source for each Shita, both for the Shita of Yesh Lavud Be'emtza and the Shita of Ein Lavud Be'emtza. Then the Gemara is going to have two teachings of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lai, one of which relates to Masechah Sukkah. It's about Tzchach on a Bayis Shenivchas, if the roof caves in and you put Tzchach on it, which we've discussed already. And then the second one is going to be about the Kashrus of a certain type of fish, and fish that come from certain places, which is really unrelated to the Masechah, but it's just something Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lai taught, that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi had something to say about it. So both of these teachings have that in common. That's why we mentioned them together. And then on the last thing of the daf is Pitikri Yarid Vesosim. It is Machlok Samaraim, whether we say Pitikri Yarid Vesosim, both when it comes to Schach and when it comes to Achsadra Bibika, in terms of Hilchot Shabbos, if you have a gazebo out in the middle of nowhere, would we say Pitikri Yarid Vesosim to allow being metaltel under the gazebo? So those are the sugyas that we're going to cover today. But again, we are first finishing up the discussion about Rav's Shita of Dalet Amos Be'emtza. So we're at Toshima. Shnei sadin and mitzarfim, shnei nesarim ain mitzarfim. We said that two cloths can be mitzarif with each other, but two boards are not mitzarif to pasul the sukkah. It's not going to create a problem of a gezeres tikra. So Meir omer nesarim k'sadin. Meir disagrees. He says nesarim are just like sadinim, meaning that even boards that are put together will be mitzarif with each other to pasul the sukkah. So bishlam lahach l'shadam rav bein be'emtza bein minatzad ba'arba amos. If you say like we just said in the name of Rav, like this second lashon of Rav, that even min be'emtza sukkah, you have up until dalet amos eschach pasul my mitstarfin ledalet amos. I understand that when we're talking about boards being mitstarif, we're talking about taking several 4 tefach wide boards and being mitstarif them to a shear of dalet amos. But if you assume that Rav holds that even in the middle of a sukkah, 4 tefachim is enough to pasul, hechidami. So then, what's the case? If you already have 4 tefachim, why do you even need a tziruf? Without a tziruf, it's already pasul. If Rav holds 4 tefachim is pasul, the boards that we're talking about are 4 tefach wide boards. How do we know that we're talking about 4 tefach wide boards? Because if you remember this machlokas, Rabbi Dura Meir, there was a machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, how to understand the machlokas. Remember, Shmuel is one that said that if it's less than 3 tefachim, everybody agrees the boards are fine, that's regular schach. If it's more than 4 tefachim, everybody agrees that it's schach pasul, that it's pasul, that it's a tikra. And the machlok is only between 3 and 4. But Rav said the whole machlokas was about boards that are more than 4 tefachim. That's where we have machlokas. Any less than that would be fine. So Rav Lishitaso has to assume that we're discussing a board that's 4 tefachim. So if you have a board that's 4 tefachim wide, that's right in the middle of a sukkah, Rav, forget siruf. Rav should say it's puzzle anyway. And he less than dalet kanya bialman. And if it's less than dalet tefachim, then there's no machlokas. Then the board would be a regular schach kashrut, would be fine. And of course it wouldn't be mitzarif. You could put as many of those as you want. That's just putting regular schach kasher. So that's why, specifically according to Rav, this is problematic. So says Gemara, the olam to ispu arba. Now maybe we're talking about boards that are 4 tefachim wide. Umay mitstarfin. What do we mean when we say mitstarfin? Maybe mitstarfin larba amos min atzad. Maybe in a chinami, any such board in the middle of your sukkah is going to pasul your sukkah because dalet tefachim be'emtza. But when we say that they're mitzarif, it's talking about being mitzarif to dalet amos of schach pasul minatzad, that multiple boards of 4 tefachim of width put together could be mitzarif to dalet amos. Tammuz of Schach Pasul Minatzad. So Tashma, final raya on this issue of whether we have only four Tfachim Be'emtza Sukkah or four Amos Be'emtza Sukkah. Three lines from the bottom, Yud Zayin Amr Beis. Tashma, Sicha B'Nisarin Shal Erez, Sheyesh Ben Dalid, Divrei Kol Psula. If you are Mesachich Sukkah with boards made out of cedar wood that are four Tfachim wide, everyone holds that that is Pasul. Ein behen dalid, if they're less than four tefachim wide, Remeir posel, Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Remeir says it's pasul, Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher. Umode Rabbi Meir, shem yesh bein neser leneser, kimelo neser, shemeniach pasul b'nei mukshera. But Remeir is mode that if you leave the space in between the boards that equals the size of the boards themselves, so you could just fill that space with schach kosher, and then the sukkah is going to be kosher. So bishlam eleman yamar bein behem tzabein minat tzabed dalid amos, mishumachi. If you say that the shear of schach pasul that you're allowed to have, whether it be be'emtza or whether it be minatzad, is always going to be dalet amos, so I understand why it's going to be kasher if you leave bein neser leneser kimelo neser and you fill it in. Elamandiyam be'emtza ba'arba'a amai kshera. But a four tefachim is the amount of schach pasul that would pasul even be'emtza sukkah. What does it help to fill in the in between areas with schach kasher? You have plenty of boards of four tefachim. Every four tefachim is another board of four tefachim, so that should pasul the entire sukkah if you hold four tefachim be'emtza pasels the sukkah. So Amar Rav Huna, Breid Rav Yeshua, Hacha b'sukkah d'lavia el shmona mitzumtzamos askinan. Now, when we talk about having four tefachim of board and four of schach kasher and four of board and four of schach kasher, we're talking about a sukkah that's in total exactly eight amos. Every amos is six tefachim. So the sukkah is 48 tefachim from one end to the other end. And here's how you're doing it. V'yahiv neseru pesel, neseru pesel, neseru pesel, mehai gisa. On one side, you start with the board, and you go board, schach kasher, board, schach kasher, four tefachim each, six times. So that gets you to 24 tefachim, to the halfway point of the sukkah. And then on the other side, also start from the other side, v'neser pesel, v'neser pesel, v'neser pesel, that you alternate, neser pesel, neser pesel, neser pesel, four tefachim each. So that gets you another 24 tefachim, that, so it meets up in the middle. And what do you have meeting up in the middle? Pesel and pesel. In the middle, you have two areas of four tefachim of schach kasher that now meet together in the middle, which makes up an area of eight tefachim of schach kasher. Vika hechsher sukkah be'emtza. So eight tefachim is enough to create hechsher sukkah. So you only need seven tefachim for a kasher sukkah. So you have eight tefachim of kasher schach right in the middle. You have pasul schach on the sides of that kasher schach, but minat sad, you have up until four amos of pasul schach, and it's definitely less than four amos because the entire sukkah end to end is eight amos, and you have more than an amah in the middle that's part of your kasher sukkah. So it's less than three amos on each side of schach pasul. So we apply dofen akuma, and that's the case where the schach pasul is all minatzad. So even though you're alternating neser pesel neser pesel, you don't have four tefachim of schach pasul be'emtza. All of the schach pasul is entirely minatzad. So a couple of things. The Aruch Lener raises the question that the Gemara said that if you assume that bein minatzad bein be'emtza is dalet amos, so then I understand why alternating is kasher. Then we didn't even have a kasha. So says the Aruch Lener, what do you mean? How could you be machshir such a sukkah? The halacha is that you're not allowed to sit under the schach pasul, even if it's not going to pasul the whole sukkah, right? If you have a board of four tefachim that schach pasul, even though it's not going, it may not ruin the sukkah if you hold that schach pasul be'emtza you have up until dalet amos, but you're certainly not allowed to sit under it. So how much space does a person need for rosh v'rubo? So we know a person needs zayin tefachim for rosh v'rubo. So wherever he's sitting, even if he tries to position himself directly under the schach kasher, he's only partially under the schach kasher. He has rosh, he has a part of his body under schach pasul as well. So isn't he utilizing the area that's underneath the schach pasul? Asks the Aruch Lener, why are we okay with that? Why would we assume that, yeah, as long as the old schach pasul bam says bar ba'amos, then it's fine to alternate four tefachim of schach pasul, four tefachim of schach kasher, throughout the entire sukkah. So the Aruch Lener suggests that maybe that shear of zayin tefachim, we keep on calling that shear of zayin tefachim as the shear of Rosho Verubo Vishulchano. But it doesn't say Kulo. It doesn't say the entire human body. That it's Rosho Verubo Vishulchano. He says maybe to fit an entire body, you need 10 tefachim. And if that's the case, if you need 10 tefachim, so the guy is going to be sitting under a 4 tefach area of Schach Kasher, and he's also under 4 tefachim of Schach Pasel, plus another 2 tefachim of Schach Kasher for the next, because he's big enough that he takes up 10 tefachim. So then 6 tefachim, he's under Schach Kasher, and 4 tefachim under Schach Pasel, so he has Rosh Verubo under Schach Kasher, and that would be good enough. Now, where he gets that idea that 10 tefachim is the shear of Kulo, it's very difficult, because where do we get the idea that Rosh Verubo is 6 by 6 tefachim? So we have it by Sukkah, but it comes up in other places as well, namely by a mikveh. The dimensions of a kasher and mikveh are 6 tefachim by 6 tefachim by 3 amos high. Why? Because that's how big a person is. A person could fit in a mikveh that's 3 tefachim, that's 6 tefachim by 6 tefachim by 3 amos high. There's a discussion why 3 amos and not 4 amos in Maseches Bava Basra, when we try to stop Hezek Re'iyah. We don't want people to see over a wall into a neighbor's property. We build a wall that's 4 amos high, not 3 amos high. So the Bali Atos will say that maybe 3 amos assumes water displacement, that when you go into the water, then the water level goes up and will go above your head, but really a person's 4 amos tall. Maybe 3 amos is only to shoulder height, but an entire body of a person is 4 amos tall. But either way, the whole body of the person, it's not just Rosh Hashanah, it means the entire body is 7 by 7 tefachim, because that's what fits in the mikveh. So it's a very difficult vort that the article there says. Maybe assuming if you're sitting down, you'll take up a little bit more space, and we assume that there's a yeshiva in the sukkah, you're not standing up. That must be the cheshbon, that it takes up more space that way. Okay, so the Gemara had said that in answering our question, that we're dealing with a sukkah that's exactly 8 amos, and it's neser pesel, neser pesel, neser pesel. You have shnei pesalim ba'emtza. Good. So the question is, does it have to be exactly 8 amos to make this work? So Rashi says that when we say shmona amos, it has to be lo pachos v'lo yoser. Right? Rashi dibra maskel she'inba. He says it can't be lo pachos v'lo yoser. Can't be any more, any less, or any more than exactly 8 amos. So the Marsha points out that Rashi can't mean that. When Rashi says lo yoser mishmona amos, yeah, that's true. It can't be any more than shmona amos, because once you have more than 4 amos on any side, you're no longer going to be able to say Dofen Akuma. But why can't it be less than 8 amos? I mean, why can't it be 32 tefachim across the entire sukkah, and Neser Pesel, Neser Pesel, Neser Pesel, Neser Pesel will meet up in the middle, and meaning you'll have, instead of 24 tefachim of Neser Pesel plus 24 tefachim of Neser Pesel, you'll have 16 tefachim of Neser Pesel and 16 tefachim of Neser Pesel. You'll still have 8 tefachim in the middle. So that would work also, says the Marsha. So it can be pachos. It doesn't have to be yoser. The Linear just points out that the Gemara doesn't want to set up the situation in that case where it's 32 tefachim, because then it's not an even number of amos. We'd like to have an even number of amos, so it has to be a number that's divisible by 6, because there are 6 tefachim in each ama. But in a chinami, it could be 32 tefach. It's also a little bit interesting that we say v'havlu shnei psalim be'emtza. If there's shnei psalim be'emtza, and then the rest of the sukkah is neser pesel, neser pesel, does it matter that the rest of the sukkah is neser pesel? The rest of the sukkah could just be all neser. Let it be all boards. The whole thing could be pasul schach, because it's dofen akuma. We're knocking out that entire area. Mishum dofen akuma anyway. Says a gevaldik achidish. The Meiri says b'shem chachmei hadoros. Meiri quotes from chachmei hadoros that dafka having the side neser pesel, neser pesel. The chidish is that you're even allowed to sit underneath the pesel that's in the alternating neser pesel on the sides. If it were pure neser, you wouldn't be allowed to do that. Meiri rejects it, doesn't agree with it, but he says he doesn't understand why else we would set it up as Neser Pesel, Neser Pesel, just set it up as entirely Neser. So that's the Chachmei Adoros, yeah?
Yeah, the Shita of Rav Hanan Breder is showing here, doesn't it create a Psalm of Mechamsa problem as well, where you have, it's exactly 50-50, and you have 50% sunlight coming through between the Nesara. Right, so you have a 50-50 problem. The Gemara in Tezvav had said, Rav Hanan Breder Yeshua had appeared there at the bottom and had said that by Erev Paritz Gomed is no good, and what's my Kamosan in our Mishnah is a situation where it's Nichnas V'yotze, so it's 51-49. So I don't see how we solve that problem.
Yes, Mistama, when we say that we're going within Shitas Rav Meir, Yesh Bein Nesel Nesel Kuno Nesel Shemineach Pesel Beineihem, that's where we made the Ukimta, that you're Mosir, meaning that you either leave a little extra wiggle room or that you that it overlaps, that the Schach Kasher overlaps the Schach Pesel. So it really is a little more than 50%. I think the assumption is that it's 51%. Right, Mitzumtzamos. Well, it's Shmona Amos Mitzumtzamos, the entire thing. So, but it could be that there's more overlapping Schach Kasher on top of the Schach Pasel. Okay. So says Gemara, Amar Abaye, Avir Shlosha B'Sukkah Gedola Umiyato. Let's say you have three Tfachim of Avir in a large Sukkah, and then Umiyato, you minimize that area by filling it in, bein bekanim, bein beshvudin. Whether you fill in that area with schach kasher, kanim is the classic schach kasher, bein beshvudin, or whether you fill it in with schach pasel, shvudin are the classic schach pasel. So either way, have a miyut. Either way, that's going to work. That's going to minimize the area. The Ran writes that the reason that Abaye doesn't say that avir and schach pasel are not mitzarif to pasel, meaning you can say a bigger chiddush that if you have 2.5 tvachim of avir and 3.5 tvachim of schach pasel, it's not going to pasel the sukkah, because Abaye wants to be mechadish that even though the sukkah is already pasul, it already had avir of gimel tfachim, it was already pasul, still to fill it in with schach pasul is still going to be machshirit, because it's less than 3 tfachim of avir that remains. Fasama says, yeah, it's such a good chiddush, I don't even understand why that should be the case. If it's already pasul, right, the sukkah is pasul and it had 3 tfachim of avir, and then you fill in shvudin, you put in schach pasul in that area, so what makes it kosher? You putting schach pasul. Isn't that tasav lomanasui? Tasav the mitzvah is that you have to put schach kosher down to make the sukkah kosher. So isn't filling it in with schach pasul as a way of making it kosher, isn't that a violation of tasav lomanasui? So, and furthermore, it says Vasemes, if this is true, that filling in an area of three tfachim of avir with schach pasul would kosher it, why not say a bigger chiddush? That if there was 4 tfachim of avir, and you fill in part of it with schach pasul, you could be machshu the sukkah. Because if you there are 4 tvachim of avir, and you fill in 2 of those tvachim with schach pasul, that would also be machshu the sukkah. That would also work if this works. So it says Fasemis, maybe it doesn't. Maybe it only works when it's avir. It's not going to work when it's schach pasul. For some reason, he says, maybe when you have avir of 3 tvachim, and the only problem is a lavud problem, the sukkah is considered a kashra sukkah, it's just a sukkah that you can't use because of a mechitza issue, of a lavud issue, meaning midine schach, the sukkah is fine. You have a mechitza problem, and the schach has to be a mechitza as well. So you have a lavud problem. To take care of the lavud problem, you could fill in schach pasul, and that's not called tasav lo menasu, because midine schach, it was already fine. But when you have 4 tfachim of avir, that's not just a mechitza problem, that's a sukkah problem. And therefore, when you have 4 tfachim of avir and you fill in schach pasul, that taka is a violation of tasav lo menasu. He doesn't exactly express it that way, but that's the way I understood it, that there are 2 dinim over here. There's dinei schach and there's dinei mechitza. Okay, vaitu besukkah ketana. When you're dealing with a sukkah ketana, 7/7 tevach sukkah, so bekanim havi miut, beshvudin lo havi miut. Then it only works to stick in schach kasher, but it does not work to stick in schach pasul. Why not? So Rashi says, v'afagav de lo mizeh v'lo mizeh yeshir livsal, even though you don't have enough avir or enough schach pasul to ruin the sukkah, miu kivan dika gimel tfachim ba'adadi de nafki mehechshu sukkah, but since in total you have 3 tfachim of stuff that's no good for schach, chashivi ba'api nafshayu v'lo mitztarfin bahada la'ashlum l'shiura. We view that as an important enough, a considerable enough space that doesn't have schach kasher, and therefore that space, while it wouldn't passel a large sukkah, also isn't going to help to be mashlim the shear of a small sukkah, v'leisi l'shear the sukkah. So mainly you're left with less than a shear sukkah. So it says Mar v'hani milim min atzad, but that's only that. This whole discussion is only min atzad aval be'emtza. But if you have avir of less than 3 tfachim in the middle of your sukkah, pligi b'ravacha v'ravina. That's a machlokas ravacha and ravina. The idea that avir less than 3 tfachim is not a problem is only min atzad be'emtza. It's a machlokas whether it's a problem or not. Chad amar yesh lavud be'emtza, v'chad amar ein lavud be'emtza. So we have a machlokas. Will we apply lavud even in the middle of your roof, even in the middle of your schach? why wouldn't we? Meaning, if love just means that the whole thing is considered closed up, so why would we say love it only on the side of the roof and not in the middle of the roof? So the Ran explains that the reason is that the reason to say ain love it ba'am so is because since we say shurun chatzitzin and mechitzin are halachos l'moshe mi'sinai, and the Gemara and Daf Vav and Beis explain that these halachos are halachos mechitzos, good love with dofen akuma. What do we mean mechitzin? We mean good love with dofen akuma. So good and dofen akuma are both shayach only to the walls of the sukkah, not to the roof. So maybe the svara is that lavud must also be in that category. That lavud also must be a din in the mechitza, not a din in the roof. So that's why we wouldn't say so minatzad, where it's connecting to the mechitza, so it's still connected to the mechitza. So you would say that then you could apply lavud. But be'emtza, it's got no shaykhus to the mechitza. It's right in the middle of the sukkah. Then maybe you wouldn't say lavud. The Aruch Liner has a different explanation of what the machlokas is about. The Aruch Liner says that the machlokas is really about what the gedder of lavud is. How does lavud work exactly? He says there are two possibilities. You have schach, airspace, and more schach. So what does lavud do? Would lavud tell you that you take one of the, let's say it's envision a schach mat, because it's easier to envision. So let's say you have a schach mat, airspace, and a schach mat. Does lavud tell you that you pretend as if you have moved the schach mat over a little bit so that they meet up with each other, and that's what lavud does, that it just joins them together? Or does lavud tell you that you could ignore that airspace entirely and pretend that it's all filled in, but it's not that you're moving one mat over? So he says, if lavud tells you that you can move it over, so he says, that works great by the wall. You could take all of the schach and just move it over toward the wall. But if lavud tells you that you move it over, that you move it over in the middle, so when you move the schach, picture a schach mat that you're moving over from one side to the middle, so wherever you're moving over in the middle, you're losing on the other wall. Because when you move it over, it's causing avir between the wall and where that schach now begins. So he says, so then you can have a weiter problem of lavud, a weiter problem of avir. So if you, meaning when you fill in the middle by moving it over, so you can have another problem of avir minatzad. So he says that the sheet that says that you ain't, that we don't say lavud b'emtza, says because every time you say lavud b'emtza, by definition you're going to be causing yourself another, and you're not going to say another lavud then to move the walls over to the schach, because you're not going to say two lavuds, you're not going to say two halachas l'moshe mi'sinai to be makshir one problem. So that's the way the one that says ain lavud b'emtza views it. The one that says yesh lavud b'emtza, we just view it as if there's no gap, that we just pretend as if the gap is filled in and therefore it's no problem. Okay, that's how the Aruch Liner explains the machlokas. Tosus just points out over here that this whole idea of ain lavud b'emtza clearly is only about a roof. It's not going to be about a mechitza. When you have mechitzas, of course we say lavud b'emtza. The Gemara is going to say that if you have poles, a bunch of poles that are positioned less than three tefachim away from each other, those poles can make the wall of a sukkah, even though it's all b'emtza. All the lavuds are b'emtza. So certainly by walls we say lavud b'emtza. It's only a din by a roof that we're not going to say lavud b'emtza. And that's why the Gemara asks, the Gemara's kasha is going to specifically be, or the Gemara's raya is going to specifically be from a korah on top of a mavui, because that's also on top. It's not something that's a wall. So my time of demand the amr yesh lavud b'emtza. What's the svara for the shita that yesh lavud b'emtza, that there is a lavud issue b'emtza, that we would apply lavud and lavud would be okay even b'emtza? Titanya, because we learn in b'risa, korah yotzim mikosel zav v'enim nagas mikosel acher. Let's say you have a beam on top of a mavui to be matir carrying in the mavui, and the beam does not reach all the way across the entrance of the mavui. It reaches almost to the other wall, but not quite to the other side. Or v'chein shtei koros, achas yotzim mikosel zav v'achas yotzim mikosel acher v'enim nagas u'bezu. Or you have two beams that both come out from either side wall, but they don't quite reach each other in the middle. Pachas mishlosh sheino tzarach lavikar acheres. Well, if they reach to within three tefachim of each other, that's good enough. You don't need another korah. Why? Because we say lavud even be'emtza, even though there are two beams that are reaching toward the middle of the mavoi and they don't quite reach to each other. But shlosha, if they're three tefachim apart from each other, tzarech lavi korah acheres. The idach and the other shita that says that we don't apply lavud be'emtza, we'll say shiny karos derabanan. That's because the whole beam issue by a mavoi is only din derabanan. But by sukkah, which is dealing with a din daraisa, then we're going to say ein lavud be'emtza. Great. So that's the source for the shita that says yesh lavud be'emtza. My time at the mandi amar ein lavud be'emtza. What's the source for the shita that holds ein lavud be'emtza? Ditanan, we have a mishnah. Aruba shebabayis uba poseach tefach. If you have a skylight in the house, now a skylight that has a window. not like our skylights where there's an actual glass in there, an open skylight in the middle of the house, and the skylight is one tefach by one tefach. Tuma bebayis, kulo tame, mashek neged aruba tahar. If there's tuma anywhere else in the house, so the entire house is considered to be tame, except for what's positioned directly under that skylight. Whatever's positioned directly under the skylight is unaffected by the tuma in the house, because it is the roof of the house that spreads the tuma to everything underneath it, and what's directly under the skylight is not under the roof, it's under the skylight. So it's completely tar. Right there is our raya that we don't say love the be'emtza, because if we said lavud, then you'd ignore the skylight. You'd pretend as if it's totally closed up. It's less than three tefachim, so pretend as if it's closed up, and whatever's underneath it is considered to be under a roof. So that line right there is already our raya, but the Gemara quotes a little further. That's at least that's the way Rashi understands. Rashi understands that's our entire raya. Tuma keneged aruba, if the tuma is what's right under the skylight and not the not somewhere else in the house, then kolabai is kulo tahar. Then the whole house is tahar because there's no roof above the tuma to spread the tuma throughout the house. Ein baruba, that's if the aruba is poseach tefach. Ein baruba poseach tefach, if the skylight is less than a tefach by a tefach, then tuma bebayis, if there's tuma somewhere else in the house, keneged aruba tahar. Whatever's directly under the skylight is still tahar. Tuma keneged aruba, if there's tuma directly under the skylight, kol habayis kulo tahar. The rest of the house is still tahar. So Rashi and Tosfos right away say, what? We just said that about when the skylight's more than one tefach. Now we're going to say the same exact halacha when the skylight is less than one tefach. It's like, what's the answer? The answer is it depends. If it's more than one tefach, the halacha is this way, and if it's less than one tefach, the same halacha. What do you mean? Then it doesn't depend. Then it's the same. If it's more than one or less than one. So Rashi points out that you need to learn the whole Mishnah over there. We're not quoting the whole Mishnah. There are other differences that the Mishnah lists between more than one tefach and less than one tefach. We just don't go through the entire list. So we happen to not mention the part where it differs. But there are halachos that are different if it's poseach tefach or not. Tosfos says, interestingly, Shederach ha-gemara lekatzer mishnayos shall say their taharos. He says specifically when we're dealing with seder taharos, the Gemara's derech is that we try not to bring the whole Mishnayos. A lot of times the Gemara doesn't bring the whole Mishnayos, but apparently he says when it comes to other Siddurim, we're more eager to mention everything, but when it comes to Seder Taharos, we find that in Bavel, it's no secret, they didn't learn that much Taharos, that's why we don't have Talmud Bavli on Taharos. It was never part of the regular curriculum. The Chofetz Chaim writes this way in the Akdamah to Likutei Halachos, in his Sefer on Kachim, he says that they always learned Kachim. Kachim was never specifically because of the Nishalma Parmas Fasein, that the only way to be Mekayim Kachim is by saying Kachim. But by Taurus, you don't have that concept of Nisham L'Parmes Vaseinu. We're not Mekayim the mitzvah of not being Metami to Paraduma, let's say, by Lermesach's Para. But you do have it specifically when it comes to Para's a bad example, because there may be a Kachim element of that also. But whatever, we're not Mekayim, but by Kachim, specifically by Karbanos, the Gemara says in Mesech's Megillah, that Avraham Avinu had a conversation with Kodesh Baruch Hu, where Kodesh Baruch Hu promised him that as long as you learn Kachim, as long as you say over Parshios of Karbanos, that's going to be a kiyum, a real full-fledged kiyum of the mitzvah of the different karbanos. But anyway, so we have our raya. So that's the raya that ain lavud be'emtza, because you see that the aruba means something. The aruba is considered an open area. So says Mar v'idach, the other shita that holds yesh lavud be'emtza will say shayni hilchus tumah dachi gemir lehu. Hilchus tumah is different because it's halacha, that's halacha l'moshe misinai. So whatever the halacha l'moshe misinai is, it is. We can't question it. Now Rashi, as I pointed out, said that the raya was from the resha of this mishnah, from the aruba that has a Poseach Tefach and the Tumas Tachas Aruba, etc. So the fact that we don't consider that Aruba closed. The Ritva disagrees. The Ritva says that the Raya is only from the Sefer of the Mishnah. And that's why it quotes the Sefer of the Mishnah, meaning why would we even quote the case of the Aruba that's Pachos Mitefach if we already have the Raya from the first half and the second half doesn't even add anything? We don't even quote anything substantive in the second half other than that we're mentioning that it has Pachos Mitefach. So if we already have our Raya, why would we quote it? So it says, no, the raya must be only from the seifa. Why is it not a raya from the resha? Resha is also dealing with less than three tefachim, so that should be a good raya that we apply, that we don't apply lavud. So why don't we bring it from the resha? He says, no, because the Gemara knew, says the Ritva, even Meikara, the Gemara knew that the dinim of tumah are going to be different than normal dinim mechitza, and that tefach means something. So he says, what three tefachim is in normal dinim mechitza, one tefach is in the world of tumah and tara. So when we talk about something that's one tefach or larger, that's the same as saying saying in Dini Mechitza something that's three tefachim or larger. So you're not going to be able to prove anything about lavud when you're dealing with something that's actually a tefach, because that's beyond the shear of lavud when it comes to Tumen Tara. But something that's less than one tefach in the world of Tumen Tara, that's the same as being less than three tefachim in Dini Mechitza. So that's going to be a good raya for lavud. And Pnei Yeshua just points out, why does Rashi not want to say like the Ritva? Because he says if the Gemara already thought of the idea that Tumen Tara are different than Dini Mechitza by Sukkah, then the Gemara wouldn't have had a kasha in the first place. I mean, that's the Gemara's whole answer. Hilchus Tum are different. Hilchus Tum is Hilchus Gemirila, whatever the halacha is, the halacha is. The Gemara must have not yet had that Havamina, that Hilchus Tum are different, otherwise it wouldn't have had a kasha. So if the whole kasha is based on the fact that Hilchus Tum are different than Hilchus Mechitza, then the kasha is a silly kasha, then it doesn't really work out. The whole kasha wouldn't make sense. Another kasha that the Achronim raised, the Drisha in Yeridea, in Savelus, raised the question as follows, that there is a concept in halacha of sof tumalatzes. Let's say you have a dead body in a building, and the room to the door where the dead body is closed. So strictly speaking, midine tumah v'tara, it should be that that door closes off any tumah. The tumah doesn't extend outside of that door. But if you know that the body is only, that's the only door out of the building, so that's the door where the body's going to have to go out from, even if it's not the only door out of the building, but that's a door where the body could potentially leave from, so anything outside of that door is also going to be tame. Anywhere else in the building is also going to be tame. That's the concept of sof tumah latzeis. So what's going on over here? You have a tumah in the bayis, and you have even it's under an aruba. So fine, it's under aruba. So we said what? The whole bayis is tahar. Why is all bayis tahar? How's that tumah getting out of this bayis? The only way the tumah is getting out of this bayis is by going through the rest of the house. So shouldn't you say sof tumah latzeis? And therefore the rest of the house is tame? That's the drisha's kasha. So the drisha says an interesting chiddush. She says probably the opposite of what you would have thought. He says sof tumalatzes is only when there's a door being mafsik, and then sof tumalatzes tells us we view it as if you opened that door, even though the door is not yet open. We view it as if the door has already been opened. That's the concept of sof tumalatzes. But when there is no door, there's no barrier at all, then we don't say sof tumalatzes. Over here, there's no barrier between what there's no mechitza separating between where the mace is and the rest of the room. That we're not going to say sof tumalatzes. A little bit difficult to understand why that should be the case. Why a more significant barrier would mean that the tumah is more connected to the outside, whereas no barrier would mean that it's not connected to the outside. But you got to come up with some chiluk. That's the chiluk that the drisha suggests. Okay, now we have two teachings of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lai, both of which Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was not so happy about his lack of detail and nuance in giving these psakim. So darsh Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lai. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lai darshan as follows: Bayis shenifchas v'sikei chalgabav ksheira. If the middle of your roof caves in and you put schach instead over there, so it's going to be kosher. So I'm in front of Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Parish. Says, you got to explain a little more. You're missing some detail over there. Kach bi Rishabi, you should know my father, Rabbi Yossi, explained it like this: Arba amos psula. It really depends how much schach pasul do you have minatzad. If you have four amos or more, then it's pasul because you can't say dofen akuma. And if you have less, then it's going to be kosher. So the Aruch Haner says, "A really good time, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lai. How irresponsible to just say bayish and nifchas, and that you put. Some people are going to get the wrong impression. They're going to think they have a sukkah kshera when it's not a sukkah kshera." So the Aruch Haner says, "No, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lai holds that he says you have to know another gemara. Rabbi Yehuda holds in the gemara says in Masechta Bava Basra." That the size of a bayis katan, of a small house, what we would call a small house, is 6 amos by 8 amos. A bayis gadol is babasut sadichasun beis. A bayis gadol is 8 amos by 10 amos. A traklin, a palace, is 10 amos by 10 amos. By dinei sukkah, what's Rabbi Yehuda's shita for the minimum size of a sukkah? So we had at the beginning of the Masechta. Rabbi Yehuda's one that holds it's got to be 4 amos by 4 amos. Let's say you live in a palace. You live in a traklin that's 10 amos by 10 amos. And right in the middle, you cut out an area that's 4 amos by 4 amos, which is the size you need of schach kasher in order to have a kasher sukkah. According to how much space do you have on each side now? Only 3 amos on each side. It's still less than 4 amos on each side. So you have dofen akuma by definition. No matter how big a house you live in, because no one lives in a house that's more than 10 amos by 10 amos. So no matter how big of a house you live in, if you have a sheer hechsher sukkah in the middle, you're always going to have dofen akuma. Oh, but Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi is not happy about that, because Rabbi Shmuel holds the the shear of a sukkah is zayin tefachim by zayin tefachim. So if you have zayin tefachim by zayin tefachim be'emtza of the schach, then you're going to have more than four, you might have more than four amos min atzad. So you need more nuance to explain whether it's four amos. Very sharp vart from the Aruch Haner. Darish Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lai, another halacha, psak halacha from Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lai. Avromi sharia, avroma, a type of fish. Rashi says min dagim ketanim vein shratim nikarim behen. It's a small type of fish. It's mutter. It's a kosher of fish. Amar lefanav Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Parish. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi says, wait, a little more detail, please. Kacha merabba. You know that my father explained shal makom ploni asur shal makom ploni mutaris. It depends where you get your avroma. In certain places it's mutter. In other places, it's aser. Ki adam rabai hay tzachanta debav nahara sharia. Like Abaye taught that the tzachanta of a certain river called Bav is mutter. The Bav river is mutter. My time, why is it mutter in that river? If you're going to say it's because the current is so strong in that river that any non-kosher fish which doesn't have a chuta shidra, doesn't have a spinal column, would never be able to withstand the current in such water. Well, we know that's not so. We see that there are very wild waterways that non-kosher fish are doing just fine and living very happily in. So it can't be, that can't be the problem. That can't be the reason that you could automatically assume that the fish that come from there are mutter. El mishum de melichi maya. No, it must be because it has a certain salt content in the water. Vay dag tame, even the less say kilpi lo matzi kai. And the dag tame doesn't have scales, so it can't protect its own skin, and that's why it can't survive with that. What are you talking about? But we do see that it's able to survive even where it's milchi maya, where the water is very salty, where that non-kosher fish are able to survive. No, it must be that he had a tradition that this particular river didn't have any non-kosher fish. There were no non-kosher fish that were around in this river. Amar Ravina says, "Va'idna deshafchi nar esan v'nar gamda lahasam asira." But nowadays there are other rivers that feed into that river where non-kosher fish do come from. So it's very shayich that you'll find non-kosher fish in that river, and therefore nowadays it's going to be aser. Says the Rashash in the back of the Gemara. He says, when we say that this tzachanta d'bahav nahara is mutter, but nowadays it's aser because water comes there from other rivers. Says the Rashash, "Libi omer li dezeu anikra balaz." Stinkers, that this is the stinker fish. I don't know what fish that is, but he says this is the fish known as the stinker. Ki tzachan hu lashon sirchon. It's a lashon of smelly tzachan. So we say tzachanta, it must be that we're talking about a smelly fish. And he says, he goes on to say, Ayin reish perak yud de trumas kumeduma shenomeli shagam behem derech lisariv dagim katanim tameim veirim nikarim. And also by these stinker fish, there are these dagim katanim tameim, these little non-kosher fish that often get mixed in with them, and you're not going to be able to recognize them. Va olam noig behem heter vein potzepeh vashem atov yichaper baad. And the world is noig heter on these fish, and no one says anything. Hakadosh Baruch Hu should be mechaper for Klal Yisrael for violating what it says in this Gemara. Then he says, "V'yesh lomar," but maybe to justify it, Rashi writes in Avodah Zarah, the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah has a list of things of akum that you're not allowed to have. Chalav akum, originally shemen akum, bishul akum, all these, it calls it shlakos, it doesn't call it bishul akum, but that's what it means. Bishul akum, all the different things of akum that you're not allowed to have. And it says, tzachanta it says chilek as one of the things on the list. So we understand that that's a type of fish, Rashi says, that doesn't have scales right now, but it will grow the scales la'achar zman, and therefore they didn't aser that fish even though it doesn't have scales right now, because they asered that fish while it didn't have scales right now, because then you won't be able to identify it between the dugim tameim. But if you're able to identify it, the shach writes, but if you're able to identify that fish, then it is kosher. It's not a problem with the fish itself. So he says maybe that's what the olam is noig heter with these tzachanta, that the olam is noig because they could look if it has scales, and if you could do bedikah and see that it has scales and you know what type of fish it is, that's fine. This Rashash plays a critical role in the whole controversy about tuna fish, about the OU tuna fish, the kashrus of tuna fish in the cans. Okay, we're running late. We're not going to be able to get to Rav Shaptez in Simon Tez Zayin of Ginas Egos, where he argues in Rabbi Tendler's chumra about the or Tendler's Shita. He holds it's not a chumra, he holds it's a la'alacha, about the tuna fish. One of the concerns is that there's no one, by the time we see it, by the time the Jews see the fish, it's the scales have already been removed. So can we rely on the bedika of the people to see that there are scales there? And can we rely that there aren't dugim tameim that are mixed in, that they're removing all the dugim tameim from the mixture? So this rashash does play a role in figuring out how to deal with that issue. Okay, for a different time. So says Umar Itmar. Back to sukkah related issues. If a person puts schach over an achsadra that has poles along the side of the achsadra, so that's kasher, meaning the poles themselves are the mechitza. Previously, when we spoke about the achsadra, we were talking about a chatzah that was surrounded with houses, and the houses had in front of them like porches. So so we were trying to use the walls of the houses. So we said if there's less than 4 amos between the walls of the houses and where your schach begins, it's going to be kasher, but more than 4 amos is going to be possible. But now we're saying that the edges of those porches have poles sticking down, so those poles themselves are the walls. You don't need to rely on the houses to make the walls. The poles themselves are the walls, so that's going to be perfectly kosher. She'ein lo p'tzimin, but if it doesn't have p'tzimin, it doesn't have these poles, so then it's a machlokes. And we're assuming that there's more than 4 amos. Again, these porches are more than 4 amos, create a space of more than 4 amos between the schach and the walls of the houses. So Abayi amar k'shera, Rav amar p'sula. Abayi says kosher, Rav says pasul. Abayi says it's kosher because we say pitikri yor v'sosim, that the surface of the porch is a tefach wide, and we view that as if it's a continuous wall that goes straight down. So therefore, the surface of the porch creates mechitzos all around. Rav amar psula, lo amrin pitikri yor v'sosim. Rav says, no, it's possible. We do not say pitikri yor v'sosim. We do not view the surface of the achsadra as if it goes straight down. So Rav said to Abayi, "Lidi daf dam pitikri yor v'sosim afilu hivchas dofen emtsai." According to you, that you're willing to say pitikri yor v'sosim, would you say so even if the middle wall is missing? So Rashi just points out, Machlokes Rashi tells us how to read this line, but Rashi understands that we're talking about a sukkah asuya be'emtsa chatzer. You make a sukkah right smack in the middle of a chatzer, and you have a nice thick schach on top of it. The thick schach that's at least one tefach thick, but it's not four tefachim, so it's not schach pasul, and there is no middle wall. There are two walls along the sides, and you have nice thick schach, so maybe the pitikra of the thick schach should count for it to be yorid v'sosim on the third wall, should close off the third wall. So he says, if you're going to say pitikra yorid v'sosim, why don't you say that? Why don't you say pitikra yorid v'sosim when you have a sukkah built right in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of a chatzar, and use the pitikra of the thick schach itself? So Amalei Modina Lach Pahi Davle Kamavay Mufulash said, no, that's not going to be good, because if there are only two side walls, that's like a Mavay Mufulash, meaning people can walk right through that. It's a mechitza that people are constantly walking right through, can't possibly be a good mechitza. It's wide open from one end to the other end, so that's not going to be a good mechitza with Pitik Riyar V'Sosim. But this is the Machlokas Abayi and Rava. Do we say Pitik Riyar V'Sosim or not? So says Maralema Abayi V'Rava Bupluktad Rava Shmuel Kamiflugi. Maybe they're arguing in a Machlokas that was already argued by earlier Amorayim. Rav and Shmuel already had a machlokas about pitikra yor v'sosim in a different context. De Itmar, because we learned in Erevin, achsadra bebika, if you have a gazebo out in the middle of a valley, in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of an open plain, Rav amar mutra l'talta b'kulo, Rav says you can carry underneath the whole gazebo, tamrin pitikra yor v'sosim, because we assume the thickness of the roof of the gazebo, since it's tefach thick, I'm assuming like Rashi assumes it needs to be a tefach thick, since it's a tefach thick, we view it as if it's yor v'sosim, as if it closes off the entire area. Ushmul amar ein l'taltan ba'el b'dal ramu. Shmuel says, no, you're limited to Dalet Amos. We do not view the gazebo as if it's entirely enclosed based on Pitikri Yor V'Sosim in all four sides. So don't you see this is already Machlokas Rav and Shmuel? Why would Abayi and Rava argue about the same Machlokas Rav and Shmuel? So says Gemara, Libud Shmuel Kol Yamal Pligi. There's no arguing about what Shmuel's opinion was. Shmuel definitely did not hold the Pitikri Yor V'Sosim. Abayi and Rava are both moda that Shmuel does not hold the Pitikri Yor V'Sosim. Ki Pligi Alibud the Rav. The Machlokas is within Shitas Rav. Abayi Krav. So Abayi says, well, Rav holds Pitikri Yor V'Sosim, so do I. So I'm just paskening straight like Rav. Just like Rav said Pitikri Yor V'Sosim by a Nachsadra Bebeka, so I say Pitikri Yor V'Sosim by a Sukkah. V'Rava Amar Lach, and Rava would say to you, no, Ad kan lo kamer av hasam el de mechitzos lach sadruhu da avidi, aval hacha de lav lahachi avidi lo. When will Rav say that pitikri yor v'so same? That's only when those mechitzos are made for the achsadra, meaning the pitikra was made to enclose the achsadra. So therefore, that pitikra could be yor v'so same to enclose the achsadra. So that's where we say that you can have a din of pitikri yor v'so same. But over here by the sukkah, where it's not made to enclose the sukkah, the roof that hangs over the house, it's not made to enclose the sukkah, it's made to enclose the area underneath the overhang. So then we're not going to apply pitikri yor v'sosim to such a roof. That's a limitation on pitikri yor v'sosim. The Rishonim just point out that we don't say pitikri yor v'sosim, we only say pitikri yor v'sosim by a binyan kavua, like by an achsadra. But by schach, no one says, in the end of the day, we don't say pitikri yor v'sosim, and they prove it from the fact that we need to make a dofen shlishas tefach, that the third wall always needs to be at least one tefach. If it was possibly to makshir based on pitikri yor v'sosim, then when we were discussing the defunos of the sukkah, we should say that all you need is two regular walls and then pitikri yor v'sosim in third step. But we don't say that. We say you need two regular walls, shtayim kilchasan u'shlishas afilu tefach, but you need that shlishas afilu tefach in order to say pitikra yor v'sosim. So that's a point that the Rishonim discuss at great length over here. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up from there tomorrow. Tomorrow we have all about the Brooklyn Eruv. Tomorrow's that. It's a good thing.